Hey ho, what do you know? It's time for the Matt Dean Clark Show.
Hey everybody, welcome to the podcast. Welcome back to the podcast that critics around this great nation of ours are calling "The Only Thing I Hate About This Podcast Is Everything." Okay, all right, thank you for that. Harsh, yeah, right out of the gate. Jeez.
That's a lot to deal with.
Yeah, they don't throw punches, or they don't hold punches.
Did they watch my last episode? Or?
Yeah, I know. Yours was a hit. That was one of the highest rated, I gotta say. That's three.
Top viewership, three. All right.
Two of them were me. I just listened back, made sure it sounded good.
So good. That audio was so good. And I was the third one. All right.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that voice you've heard right there is Tom Chilstrom. Welcome back to the show, sir.
Returning guest.
Thank you, guys. Yes. I appreciate it. It's good to be back.
Yeah,
it's good to be back. Hanging out with some old friends here.
Yep. And we said before, you know, thank you for slumming it with us. That's what I consider myself, too.
I mean, it's more like the destination I have to go to get out here and hang with you guys. But
well, that's true.
The company you keep, though, I tell you that, man. You guys are old favorites of mine.
Oh, I appreciate that. Right back at you. And Brett Saxon returning as
thank
well.
Thank you.
Yeah, welcome.
Did we already?
Wow. Jesus.
So let's start in with just checking in. What's new with you, Tom? You did a show recently. Where was that?
Yeah, did a show last Friday. Jelly Bean and Julia's down there in Coon Rapids, so not too far from up this way. But
Jelly Bean and Julia's, I've never been. I've always been intrigued by this.
I've heard
place.
Good place. Oh, yeah. good places about this thing.
my word, guys. So they started in Anoka, right off on Main Street there in Anoka, the Halloween cap of the world. So we'll
self-proclaimed
allegedly.
Yeah.
Good old Anoka, and then they just moved out to Coon Rapids. It's the old Grumpy's or Willie's or Leonard's or the North. Those are all previous businesses that were at this building.
Oh, interesting.
So he and his wife had met there when it was Grumpy, so that's why they were really intrigued about getting into that building. But his business boomed so much since he started it. It's primarily barbecue, but unfortunately, the new location, they don't have their new smoker yet. But he's done great with burgers and wings, just a little smaller menu to start in the Coon Rapids location there. But
tease him.
Yeah. But Corey Swap is the owner there. He's a good friend of mine. So I was excited to bring comedy back to that building because that's where I actually first started doing open mics was when it was Willie's.
No way. Yeah. That's cool.
And then Corey himself had even tried comedy for a while and would go out there for, I think, maybe like 6 months to a year, something like that.
Okay.
You know, so, you know, he got that that itch to try comedy. Didn't quite work out. His passion is really quite literally barbecue.
Yeah.
So, I mean, outside of his family. He does love his family. But, like, barbecue.
But just a little less.
Yeah. Close second is barbecue.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so it was a great show. My buddy John Russell, who I do the Two Count podcast with on Tuesdays. So he was the headliner, and then my buddy Stephen Tovar was the opener, which just felt right because I've known Tovar since I was there as an open micer at Willie's. And then, you know, he's also been a big fan of and supporter of Jelly Bean and Julia's. I'm like, it always seems right, man. So,
yeah. Heck yeah.
Have both those gentlemen always done stand-up too? Have they been doing it for a while?
Yeah, I mean, Tovar's kind of hit mini retirement because he's just, you know, got other things going on. You know, he was living in an RV for a while and stuff, and then you know, now he just lives out in the boonies of Zimmerman.
Well,
we can call it that because how we all grew up in a civilization of Elk River or Ramsey and stuff. So
I know, but whenever I mention it, like Elk River or even Anoka, people are like, how do you even live? How do you survive off that? Like,
well, I don't know. They've had indoor plumbing for quite a long time.
So yeah, exactly. You know,
electricity since I was a wee little lad. Right. So
emphasis on wee.
Yeah. Callback. Yeah. But yeah, no. So it was a great show. Really happy that we did the show. We're looking probably now in probably to June, just because you know, trying to run it for the fourth Friday in May would be Memorial Day weekend, and no one wants to do a show Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let me ask you this. There's a current trend that you see a lot on TikTok and Instagram and all that where it's comedians doing the crowd work.
Yeah.
And they're doing that. And a lot of comedians don't like that because they say it's just kind of, it builds this unnatural thing that fans then going to see want and expect, creating more hecklers and all this stuff. What's your kind of stance on that?
So I'm fine with doing crowd work if it's organic. Mm-hmm. And I understand as far as the clicks on TikTok or YouTube or Instagram that it works to your benefit because it is organic and you don't know what the other person is going to say to you.
Yeah.
But there is people who will try to make it their career.
Yeah.
And I think that's a burden to the rest of comedians because now everybody wants to hear me do crowd work. Well,
right.
I tell jokes.
Yeah.
I tell real material. And if you're working on real material and people only want to come for crowd work, well, that's like, okay, fine. What do you do for a living? Oh, God. Like,
yeah.
It kills myself a little bit more just having to even think about it.
Right.
Because I'll interact with the crowd if they start it.
Yeah.
You know, if they ask a question about something, I used to do a bit where I would, you know, just kind of finish with saying that I stabbed somebody. It was obviously a joke.
Yeah.
And this one dude was just like, so what happened after you stabbed her? I'm like, I had to explain it. I'm like, I didn't stab her. It's for the bit,
right,
sir. Yeah. And he's just like, oh, okay. Now it makes more. I'm like, okay. See, now that's,
yeah.
If I were to just quarter that and somebody's just like, well, what, did you really stab somebody? Well, again, now if you want to go listen to the joke, then that works out for me if I post the joke by itself. And then maybe that interaction is separate, and then that interaction could blow up, and then, well, I got to go figure out what the fuck this guy's talking about.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. That works out, but all of these guys who are releasing that stuff, it's one crowd interaction followed by another crowd interaction followed by another crowd interaction and crowd work. I'm like,
yeah.
Well, then I think what happens is, so there's this one comedian, Natalie Cuomo, who I'm a fan of, and she does a lot of those videos, but she has a lot of good material too.
Right.
And she was at Rick Bronson's House of Comedy, and I went and saw that. That was like maybe less than a month ago. But I felt like a lot of people might, and I might be just reading into this, but I feel like a lot of people came to it wanting to bring that crowd, that heckler vibe, you know? And so maybe because they had been watching these, you know, and so they did that, but the problem was it wasn't good. And even she, as a pro, I feel, and she even said, she goes, this is one of the worst shows that I've done. And I was like, it was intense because like, I think that's the downfall is like, you could come across some hecklers that just don't give you a lot to work with. And then it's like, then what, you know?
Well, even before it became all the rage with reels and shorts and TikTok and all that, any kind of social media. Like Steve Hofstetter was making careers out of that just by his heckler interactions, though, and like destroying hecklers. And that became a huge sensation for 3-4 years or something like that, where like that's how he really made his name was, you know. And then, you know, he's a redhead, so people would, a lot of times, if they got mad about what he would say, they'd just automatically call him a ginger or whatever happens. And I'm like, you know, that's always such, again, it's lowering the standard that comedy should be, but then you have people who would want to go to shows, and I saw one of his shows at, it's called Part Wolf now, but it used to be Nomad on Cedar in Minneapolis, and the whole idea of the show was that these people were kind of waiting on their hands and knees, or like, hands and knees, but like sitting on their hands, kind of just waiting and waiting, like, oh, is he going to roast? I'm like, and no one heckled him, and then he's like, okay, fine. Since this is the part y'all want to do, and it's like probably the 55-minute mark.
Yeah.
And he knows he has to probably go like an hour and a quarter or something like that, maybe an hour and a half, depending on this.
Yeah.
It's like, all right. So does anybody want to offer up a heckle just to do this?
That's awesome, yeah.
Because it's become part of his
shtick.
Who
he is, yeah.
Now, again, it happens organically where you can just roast somebody because they heckled you middle of your set. More power to you.
Right.
And I always feel like that's more of a badge of honor anyways because you learned how this is all supposed to go, you know, like you understand this person is maybe drunk or if they're not really liking the show and they just feel like that you got to know about it, like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've been in situations where the opening comic just didn't do well and then, you know, that then reflects upon me, so then I got to try better or be better or try harder and it's, so I'll get heckled based on the fact that they didn't want to heckle the first person.
Right.
Or if I'm closing out a show and then, it's a showcase and there's maybe 4 or 5 other comics and, everybody kind of was mediocre at best to whoever was there watching. You know, some might have been great, but also some people just how their brand of comedy goes.
Mm-hmm.
So then I get heckled because, well, this is my last opportunity.
Sure.
Thanks, man.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Awesome.
Way to put it all on me now for you to get your interaction in.
Well, thankfully, we won't have probably any hecklers, or will we, Twitch?
I don't know.
Are you up for the challenge? No, I'm not.
Yeah,
no,
who wants to roast the ginger?
Yeah. From there, let's do entertainment news and comic books. Yeah. I'll start with a real quick comic book issue that came out this last week. I didn't bring it with me, so I don't have a physical copy, but it is John Carpenter's Toxic Commando 2. It's the second issue. Really good. Great series. I highly recommend it. Super violent. Everything you love about John Carpenter. Kind of funny, dark. Nice. But yeah, can't recommend that enough. Check that out at your local comic book shop. And this Saturday is Free Comic Book Day.
Wow.
So check that out on May 4th.
Nice.
So there you go.
Where is that? That's that all?
Everywhere. All locations? Comic book shops. Most comic book shops will have some type of free comic book day. They'll give away a bunch of books, a bunch of different deals, you know. So yeah, check that out because I highly recommend it.
You gonna go?
It's my favorite holiday. Yeah. I love it. Yeah. From there, let's do a news story, entertainment news about Paul Walter Hauser. Do you guys know that actor?
Yes. Yep.
So it was announced recently that he will be playing Chris Farley in the Chris Farley biopic. My question to you guys, do we need a Chris Farley biopic?
No.
Because he was so great.
Right.
I feel like he's going to tarnish my view of him.
It's going to be bad.
Yeah. And who's going to play David Spade?
Ooh.
Ellen DeGeneres?
I mean, if they do it in the right manner, but yeah, you're right. I mean, because even the documentaries or, you know, like A&E or E or Bravo, whoever's done documentaries on Chris Farley, I mean, it's really hard to want to do a biopic about Chris Farley because of the fact that he was so beloved.
Yeah.
You know, it's if you're going to do one of him, do we do John Candy next or do we, you know, do Phil Hartman?
Yeah, why not John Candy first?
Or, yeah.
That should have been that.
Yeah.
And to be honest, I'd probably more want to see a John Candy one just because, like, I don't know. I feel like I've seen everything of Farley and I felt like he was just such a part of my childhood and growing up and that where, like, I love, that's no diss to this guy, Paul Walter Hauser. I do think he's a great actor, but I don't know if he's going to have that, like, boyish goofiness that Farley had, you know? So I don't know. I'm very skeptical, but he could be great.
Well, I mean, I know he's gotten into some wrestling stuff,
Paul Hauser.
So, he was just at a show down in Iowa where he helped put a wrestler through a table.
Nice.
So,
oh.
Yeah, you know, and he's a fan of professional wrestling, okay.
So he's got the street cred.
Yeah, so he's got some street cred, and he does have that affability to him.
Okay.
So that's another thing. When I look at him, I don't think to my, you know, because sometimes you get that look with Hollywood actors where you're like, oh, this guy kind of looks like a D-bag or you know, prima donna or something like that. You know, like not to just label them incorrectly or anything, but he just again has that affability where I'm like, all right, I have a beer with this guy. And I think that was like one of Chris Farley's charms was the fact that I'd have a beer with that guy.
Yeah, yeah. Like, well, for sure. Yeah.
Seems like a lot of fun. So
that was kind of his downfall, I think, because
too much fun.
I was reading the David Spade thing where he was talking about how one of his memoirs where he said Chris was the type of guy that when you went out and people would be like, hey, Chris, have a drink with me. He'd be like, okay. And he would say that to everybody.
He'd
always get offered a drink. And he'd always get offered tons of stuff. And he'd do all of it.
Yeah.
So, okay. So you're kind of telling me, listen, Matt, don't totally be judgmental on this guy yet. He could be good.
I think the subject matter is tough. But I think if a guy, an actor that we have in our current sphere of influence, I don't know if I want to say, whatever. If there's an actor out there that can do it, I think he's probably the guy.
Okay.
Because even that other comics in Farley's era would have probably loved to have been able to take a run at it. But
yeah. What about, Matty Matheson? Is that his name? Who's in the bear?
I'm blanking on his name, yeah. But he would be a good Chris Farley.
Yeah.
Probably, yeah. He's got that little boyish charm.
Mm-hmm.
But this, what's good about this movie and is kind of the saving grace for me is that it is produced by Lorne Michaels. And
okay.
So it's like, okay, well, he's got the seal of approval. You know what I mean? So.
Well, I mean, Chris Farley's brother, Kevin, does comedy.
His book, yeah.
Yeah. And he, you know, I mean, if he's involved with it as well,
yeah,
then that should work.
Yeah.
So.
Cool.
Yeah. Matty Matheson.
Matty Matheson, there you go. Yeah, he would be a good runner-up for Farley, too.
Yeah.
From there, let's do everyone's favorite segment of the week. It is, what is it, Brett?
Ooh.
Bow, 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 bow.
Is it advice?
It's advice.
Oh, my God.
Welcome to it. Yeah.
Ooh,
so
nice.
Reach out at notgoodwithmatt@gmail.com. That is notgoodwithmatt@gmail.com. If you have any advice questions or if you feel like we missed the boat on an answer, which we do every week, and you can tell us and we'll try to correct it. We'll start with somebody that says, a mom wants to be close, but her constant criticisms say otherwise. So a mother wants to be close to her child and grandchildren, but is constantly critical of people's appearances and the way they parent and stuff like that. Mm. What do you guys think about that? Someone like a mother that's kind of overstepping their bounds a little bit. Hmm. I think if, you know, when it's appearances, I think you just tell to the mom, I think you look like a dummy, right? Just meet it with, just be, you know.
Be a mirror and say it back to them?
Yeah, and be an adult about it and just call her a little dummy.
You little dummy, you.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think that gets really, it gets hard for everybody involved. You know? I mean, don't need to speak ill of my mother who's passed on, but mm-hmm. I know that she had some tendencies of this sort mm-hmm. to, you know, judge a book by its cover, if you will. And it got really hard to wander around in public. And I can understand where this is coming from as far as, like, you know, how do you explain to them? And I was just kind of told her, like, you can't say what you're just thinking.
All the time, yeah.
Yeah. There, you need to bring back some of that decorum you had when you were younger before you stopped caring. Because I think there's always that level of, I don't care anymore.
Right.
As you get older.
Oh, for sure.
And I think that might be what this person's dealing with.
Yeah.
I don't know the whole situation, but I feel that's in that realm.
Yeah. But I think the way you handled that is nice. By just kind of like a gentle little nudge or, you know what I mean, like, keeping them in check, you know, just that idea of like, you don't always have to be so judgmental. I know this gentleman who I won't say his name, but he had a period where he was like, I'm so frustrated with like the way people are acting.
Yeah.
I'm just going to say whatever. And like he had that quick wit and he just would say it like to, you know, cashiers, anyone that was like, you know, giving him any kind of pushback, he would give it right back. And it turned into the spiral thing where he's like, well, it just, you know, didn't make him happy. Cause you say that too. And then also that there's, you come across that thing of like, if you're really quick and you say something and then you hurt their feelings, then you're like, oh, well, I don't feel good about that either.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that momentary pleasure. Yeah. And then you're like, oh, I just ruined them. I caused them to relapse.
Who was this again?
Well, I won't say their name, but it rhymes with Tet Naxon.
Oh, okay.
No, just kidding. Yeah. It wasn't you. Yeah.
I mean, I will say that I've gotten, especially with people at work or people I'm familiar with, I will like mini roast them, you know, just, you know, little jabs here and there.
Yeah.
But I'll say it with a smile and they kind of know like, okay, we're just kidding back and forth. So they'll give me a hard time too. But if you do it to people who you aren't friends with, it's really tough to get them to realize that, oh, no, I'm just playing around.
Right.
I'm just giving you a little bit of a roast and stuff, you know, because you aren't familiar with that person.
Right.
Yeah.
And it does become a bit where you leave and all of a sudden, if that guy comes back here, I'm for sure spitting in his food.
Right.
I hate that person so much at this point.
That's so true. Next one is someone wants to know, how to, or whether or not they realized they saw a friend hadn't responded for a long time, right? And they looked at their text and realized that there was an old text from 10 years ago. And the text said, and it was accidentally unread, and it just said it was an apology. So that other person had sent them an apology and they didn't even look at it for 10 years.
10 years?
Yeah. So they want to know, they feel really bad about it. Do they send an out of the blue response to this 10-year-old text or not?
Absolutely not.
I think they should. But you should still hold the grudge and it should be just a random out of the blue fuck you. Just like, whoa.
I mean, I guess it depends on the level of apology, right? I mean, what are they apologizing for? Was it something where, hey, I'm sorry I got drunk at your wedding? Or was it something like, hey, I slept with your
entire family.
After the wedding.
I mean, whatever happens to be. Yeah. But I mean, 10 years ago, was that when we were still paying a dime per text? Or is that?
Yeah, that would be,
What if they committed, what if they did harm to themselves kind
of? Because of that,
no one responded back to them.
Right.
Or them, whoever they,
yeah.
The guy or girl. Yeah, the apology could be a cry for help at that point.
Right, yeah.
You just
or
let
no,
them.
They yeah, yeah. Or yeah, or cry for help.
Yep. Fuck. So I say you just ignore it
just
again.
Just ice them. Yeah.
Just ice them.
10 more years.
Yeah.
10 more years. Just,
then maybe.
I mean, now you just go. Yeah. After 20 years, it's like, hey, I know you thought I ghosted you for 20 years, but haha, surprise, motherfucker. Yeah, I'm like, I'm back.
I'm back.
You're right, not forgiven.
Joke's on you. Joke's on you.
All right, from there, let's do TV. This is television reviews of the week. Tom, let's start with you. What are you watching that you're liking right now?
So I didn't think this show was even still going.
Okay.
I got into it.
Not good, you're talking about?
no, The Rookie on ABC. So I was watching through Hulu, and I didn't think it was on still.
Yeah.
And apparently I'm all caught up now, which is very frustrating for somebody who is just trying to binge watch a fucking show.
Right.
So I'm all caught up now. It's a great show. I can't wait for the next episode.
The Rookie. I love that actor. I'm like on his Nathan name. Fillion. Yeah, yeah, he's great.
Yeah,
what
he's,
is that about? I feel like I just saw that.
So he's an old rookie, though. So like rookie cop. Not to give away too much, but the basic premise was that he's getting divorced out. He lives out in Pennsylvania, and he's at the bank to put his wedding ring in the safe deposit box. And then all of a sudden the bank gets robbed. He helps stop the guy who's robbing the bank, feels this surge of energy and like being reinvigorated.
Yeah.
Goes in all the way out to the LA to join the LAPD. And he's like a 45, something like that, year old rookie. Which then everybody hates him apparently as a, like, you know, he's proven himself. But yeah, it's a weird show based mm-hmm. on the fact that even I've gotten to that point where I'm like, I'm 40 years old. I can't really change into something like where like, I'll be a police officer.
Right.
No.
You never know.
You never know. But
I haven't seen an episode of that show, but I love him and I think he's super funny, Nathan mm-hmm. Fillion. And so I imagine the show is pretty funny.
It is. Like, yeah. There's mild riffs here and there. Yeah. I mean, it's obviously still very more drama-based.
Yeah, yeah.
And they, you know, they did handle, you know, some of the stuff from, like, 2020 pretty well as far as, you know, riots and you know, police shootings and everything like that. They didn't really touch on it too much, but they, you know, kind of just still took it where we understand what citizens are feeling and, you know, the animosity towards police officers, because basically he goes back and finishes up his college degree with some criminal justice courses, and then when his classmates find out that he's a cop, boy, they let him have it.
Right.
You know, so like even call him a narc, which is like, he's not in narcotics. Like, I don't know why you're calling him a narc. That's just me being an asshole.
Idiots.
So
yeah.
You dumb kids.
they have a couple spinoffs too, right? Or at least one for sure with Niecy Nash.
Yeah. So, and they'll incorporate that a few episodes here and there, but the Rookie FBI.
Okay.
Yeah. Cause that's what you do with CBS or an ABC shows is
you do if do five of them
or I guess, you know, NBC really started with like all the Law and Orders.
Oh yeah, totally.
So if you've got something that works, let's make it work. Yep. As long as we have something that can just hit like dun dun, like it's Law and Order, guys. Like,
right. Ooh. Let's milk it to death.
That's right.
It's the name of Brett's autobiography.
I worked on a cow farm.
What shows are you watching?
That one.
Milk to death.
Yeah. chronic masturbation. No, I'm sorry. Should I not have said that? I don't know.
No, you should. We're in now.
Yeah, right? It's free forum. Yeah.
All right. Well, free forum. Sorry anybody who thought better of me.
No. Yes, and.
Yes, and. Yeah. Come on, finish it up, Brett.
No, I haven't watched any TV, but I do want to watch the last episode of Shogun.
I'm saving that, too.
So don't. I know Clark watched it.
We'll all talk about it next week.
Okay.
I'll try to watch
it
next week.
You have a week to watch it.
I think I can get through it in a week.
I've been watching Baby Reindeer, which has taken over.
Yeah. I've heard a lot about that.
Yep, it's from Netflix, and it's taken over the media landscape. People are loving it, and it is this Netflix show created by a comedian, Richard Gadd, and he's based off of his one-man show. And so what he did, it's about he had a stalker. And so he had this whole one-man show about it. Now he's turned it into 7 episodes, and he's starring in it. which is kind of interesting. Yeah. But it works. I like him. This is the first I've ever heard of him. Anything I've ever seen of him. I had no idea who he was. I didn't know the one man show. But I was into the series, and it's gripping. I'm 4 episodes into it. And love it. I can recommend that. So we give that a good or not good on the show. I'm going to give that a good. All right, from there, let's do some random news of the week now. So Tom, do you like going to baseball games?
I love baseball games.
Yeah, I love them too. Do you love the dollar dog nights at baseball games?
I used to live to go to the Twins games when they had dollar dome dogs. I literally brought this up to a friend of mine on Monday.
Nice.
I don't know, should I go into the story about
get into it? Yeah.
So a couple of friends of mine wanted to do the 9-9-9 challenge.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
9 beers, 9 hot dogs in 9 innings on Sunday, and it was to celebrate their birthdays.
It's 9 beers, 9 hot dogs in 9 innings.
Yes.
I don't think I could do the beer. I could do the hot dogs.
Yeah. So it was meant to be in somebody's front yard, okay, or yard, and yeah, then rain on Sunday. So then we moved it to Broken Clock Brewery in Northeast, where my buddy Tony knows the people, the staff who works at the brewery, and then also the kitchen staff. So he got them to make the hot dogs for us and, you know, kind of direct us on the beer to go with, you know. So we had a 4.2% beer.
Okay.
Anyhow, so I brought up the dollar dogs because the dogs we have for this challenge were basically the exact same kind of thing you have when it was dollar drum dog, you know, like just a regular hot dog in a bun.
Yeah.
It was great. You know.
Now, are the buns the same? Because I've always wondered this. Aren't they like a little thinner bun?
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay, okay.
Yeah,
but yeah, you had the kind of thinner bun?
So we actually had poppy seed buns. We're all just like, man, if we fail this challenge, we could also fail a drug test. Ha, as a joke. Because who's doing opium when heroin and all that? No, sorry.
Yeah. That's, did you guys take drug tests then after the challenge?
We should have.
Yeah.
We should have been like, oh, man, I am pissing for a lot of opium right now.
Yeah,
yeah, like I just went straight to a den. But anyhow, no, I ended up getting to the brewery late, about somewhere through the bottom half of the first inning.
Sixth inning? No. Okay.
real late, yeah. And then caught up, and then still finished 9 beers and 9 dogs in 7 innings.
Oh, wow. Good
work. By the end of the 7th.
Overachiever.
Yeah. So, you know, proud. But, yeah, so I do appreciate the good dollar dog nights.
Now, let me ask you this. Was that the most dogs you've consumed in an evening?
I'm not going to share that kind of information. I'm a big dude, but I'm not like Kobayashi food or Joey Chestnut, yeah, like, yeah, record Chestnut breaker over here. Yeah.
Well, yeah, Brett, how many did we have that one night? I couldn't remember.
Definitely won, though.
No, I think you might have won.
I think you won.
You probably had.
Did we tie?
We might have tied. I'm cool with the tie, but was it like 5 only?
I think we had 5.
Which is nothing compared to like this legend.
Well,
we're in
I was in go mode.
Of a legend.
Yeah, yeah, I was in go mode. Like I had to finish a challenge because I'd started it and I was geared up for it. I mean, even to the point where I was wearing a beer like polo. So I got like this donut one right now. Like I had a beer polo that looks very similar to this. And
did you eat all through the mouth or did you do the other thing?
I just went straight in the behind.
Just threw them right in the toilet. Cut out the middle.
I ingested them how normal humans ingest food and drink there. Good job, buddy.
Yeah, right. Some people Brett, put them in their ear. You know?
Yeah, just right in there.
Little chew.
Right up the nose.
Brett, can you do me a favor and turn off your mic?
Just kidding. You know how you want to say things? Please stop. All right. All
just
right.
Kidding, Brett. Just kidding. Yeah. Turn yours up louder is what I meant.
Not good podcast. Your statements are the ones that are not good. Anyhow. Oh, I'm so sorry. This is why I shouldn't be around friends.
No, this is why you
shouldn't be. So, roasting you nonstop. All right.
So I bring up the question of the dollar dogs because a shower of moderately priced meaty treats rained down on a New York Mets fan during $1. You heard about this?
I read about this, yeah.
Resulting in his removal in the 9th inning of the victory over the Chicago Cubs in Queens.
Oh, wait. No, I didn't hear about this.
Different, might be a different dog night.
No. Is this Seymour Wiener?
No, this was not Seymour
Wiener. Oh, okay. This is a dude. Anyways, okay, continue on with
okay, you know what? You just totally fucking redeemed yourself on that one.
Yeah, you did. You
that
did.
Was great.
This was Mets officials announced that they sold a stadium record 44,269 hot dogs during the promotion. They had an attendance of 22,880. That roughly was like probably two dogs per person, they said.
Wow.
One of those fans had a custom t-shirt, which he wrote on it. To keep track of how many hot dogs and beers he consumes. Probably doing that challenge.
Yep.
The shirt read, "Bad day to be a glizzy." And this he referred... do you know what that is? What
yeah,
is that?
It's a hot dog.
That's a hot dog. So fans started launching hot dogs at him later in the game after they saw him in his shirt.
Yeah.
And so they're just chucking these dogs. See, there's a video of it. Just tons of hot dogs being thrown at him. And then he was finally escorted out of the area. He consumed 9 hot dogs and 10 beers at the time of his departure.
Wow. Yeah.
So there you go.
9 hot dogs, 10 beers?
Yep.
Okay.
I could have had a 10th beer. Yeah, I could have beaten this motherfucker.
You totally could have, yeah.
I mean... Just saying. But.
Yeah.
Do you want backstory on this night?
I do. I really do.
So this night, I read about this night too, like just this afternoon.
Can you turn off your mic real quick?
Yeah. I'm going to turn off my mic. And there apparently the night before or the a couple games before, there was a veteran named Seymour Wiener.
Oh, Wiener. Okay.
And he threw out the first pitch and he went viral. And then this event, the Dollar Dog Night, was named after... was named Seymour Wiener for this event. And I don't know if that's why they sold so many, but
when was this? Happened. When did Seymour do this?
Recently.
Recently, yeah, okay, like gotcha.
Right. How is he not throwing out the pitch for the game that's in his honor?
They named he did that one, but then, yeah, I guess the Dollar Dog Night was named after him after he went viral.
Okay.
So then maybe that's why he...
But haven't they always had a Dollar Dog Night?
I'm sure they do.
Yeah. You are wearing the Mets hat, so you are our Mets expert right now.
Yeah, yeah. I am, and they do have one. Yeah.
Okay. Now, were these wrapped dogs, or were they all just like out of the package, like buns and dogs his way?
I don't know. Were they showering man?
They were showering with full on dogs, not
wrapped in tinfoil and stuff like that? Oh, man. Because I would have probably been like the guy like just catching them and trying to eat them. Like,
yeah.
Just give me your free hot dog.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
I am poor.
I'd sell them. I'd take them home. Yeah, yeah.
You sell them.
You want this hot dog, kid?
Yeah. It's 2 weeks old. Don't worry about it.
It fell on the floor.
It's pocket warm, baby.
Yeah, it's pocket warm. Like the way you shine.
All right, and finally, ladies and gentlemen, let's go to movies. This is
that
movies.
That feels like an Always Sunny, like a Charlie Day thing from Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Pocket warm, yeah.
Yeah. You got a pocket dog?
Pocket.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Or what is it? What's the Napoleon Dynamite? Didn't he have pocket tots? Didn't he have tots in his? Mm. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. There he did.
All right, and that's a movie, so a good segue into movies.
Yeah,
the Napoleon Dynamite classic. Nailed it. What have you guys seen lately, or even if you haven't seen anything lately, maybe a go-to movie that you love? Brett, you seen anything lately?
I want to see The Rookie, because Tom was just talking about it.
That's a show.
Oh. That's a show, yeah. You mean Rookie of the Year?
Yeah.
That old one with the kid pigeon?
No, the one where he's a 45-year-old cop going through. That's a show.
That's a TV show, yeah.
Okay. I haven't seen any movies.
That's why I was in the TV section.
Yeah. We're in the movie section. Yeah. The Rookie was like a pitcher. Like, that's a baseball movie.
Right. The Rookie of the Year, that one?
No, like The Rookie. Like, the pitcher? I think it's basically the same thing, but just baseball.
Yeah.
Not Rookie of the Year.
Or the one with, who's the Boston dude, Matt? Not Matt Damon. Who's the...
Ben Affleck?
Wahlberger. He did the, like, Philly Eagles. Was in the... He, like, an old guy.
Oh, Invincible.
Eagles.
Yeah, he was a wide receiver.
Oh,
yeah.
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 Also,
I want to see
another reference to a potential show for Always Sunny in Philadelphia. One of my favorite TV shows.
And actually, I'm late to that party, but I'm watching them all now, and I'm halfway through season 3, and I do enjoy it.
It's insane.
Yeah. So
but
movies.
Not movies, though.
Not movies, yeah. We can't talk about this.
Yeah, sorry. Stop bringing up TV shows, Tom. All right.
Got any movies?
Have you seen any movies? Tom.
No, you know, I'll say this. You know what it was? Actually, so the Masters wasn't too long ago, right?
Yeah.
And I always end Masters Sunday by watching Caddyshack and Happy Gilmore.
Nice.
And because they're golf movies.
Okay.
You're really good at this.
You're really good.
can't believe we used to play sports together. That's shameful at this point. No, so like that's and I don't know what it is. Like Caddyshack is like a lot of those ones. Even Happy Gilmore falls in this. I just don't get old. Like they don't get old.
They
to
don't.
Me.
Yeah.
There's always some part that I will still laugh at, even if it's just one. Like I know I shouldn't because I'm an adult now, but I'm like that's still funny.
I think it's like it's also a little bit of the nostalgia, like. You know, I had both of those on VHS, and so I watched them nonstop.
Yeah.
So anytime it's on TV, I'll pick up right where they started, and then I'm watching the rest of it. Even if it's edited, all that, I don't care.
Yeah. Yep.
But, like, sometimes even songs. Like, they have the song, the Lynyrd Skynyrd song, Tuesday's Gone, I think, at the end of Happy Gilmore.
Okay.
Anytime I hear that, I'm like, okay, I'm transported right back to the movie.
And
I love that feeling. You know, it's great. Like, oh, yeah, he won.
Yeah.
And apparently they're doing a second one, so that's sweet.
Oh.
With the guy, Shooter McGavin.
Yeah,
McDonald, and I saw him.
Ronald
McDonald. I saw him at an airport. By the way, oh, was he hammered?
Was he really?
Yeah, it looked like he looks like he's the guy just super hungover. He was just like,
dang. Yeah, that reminds. Can we? I'm gonna pivot back.
Pivot.
I did see a movie recently that I didn't bring up last week.
You had your chance.
And it's
Thank you.
Okay.
No, go ahead.
Muted now. No. Ace Ventura 2. I rewatched
that.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
That's one of those.
When Nature Calls.
I'll lump it in there.
What do you think of that?
Yeah. First time seeing it, it was great. No.
No, you didn't
it was
like
good,
it.
But every line, I don't know if it still holds its, you know, it's probably like not PC.
Sure. Now, of course.
But, and every line he says is supposed to be kind of like a trademark line, I feel in that movie.
Oh, yeah.
But, or it could be a slogan on a t-shirt or something. But it's good. I mean, Jim Carrey.
You're great. I liked it. I think the original is like, that's just, again, going back to those movies that I can never get tired of that one.
Right,
I saw two new movies. Oh, actually, Brett, you did too. But I'll leave that to the last one. But really quickly, I saw Boy Kills World, which is an action comedy thriller that's got Bill Skarsgård, which is really good. He's got no lines. So it's almost like he's a glorified extra. I mean, he's the main guy, but he just doesn't speak the entire time. It's all action. He's a really good performer, but nonstop action. And the voice, his inner monologue, is voiced by John Benjamin.
Ooh.
Yeah,
oh,
which
man.
Is pretty cool.
Yeah, dude, that's a great... Oh.
And it, so it's him doing basically his comedy throughout the entire movie.
My God.
So I loved that. I thought that was good. But the movie itself, if it didn't have that, I'd give it a not good. So I'm going to go overall not good.
What's
good or not good?
What's the movie again?
It's called Boy Kills World.
Boy Kills World.
In theaters now.
Nice.
But let's talk about this other movie that Brett, you did saw. Do you want to talk? You did saw. Is that proper English?
You did saw
this.
You seen this?
Sound like me.
Did I say I saw it?
I just saying wrong words all the time.
Oh, did you? Now, you and Clark, I know for a fact, saw this movie.
We did.
Do you want to talk about this now a little bit? I did see this picture as well. And that is Abigail, which is a vampire horror comedy.
Yep.
You
comedy, really?
Yes. Yeah, this.
They don't really promote that with
the
commercials. Yeah,
I think it's super funny.
no, hold on. Are you just sick in the head, and that's why you find it funny?
It's all at the most violent parts, like just dismemberment.
Yeah, yeah.
I love it.
Another person died.
Just shoveling more popcorn in my gullet.
Do we save it for when Clark's back, or do we just go into it?
Let's just go into it. Why not? Okay. Yeah, yeah. We've already gotten
it. I tried. Duly noted.
Sorry, Clark.
But Angus Cloud, this is one of his last performances from Euphoria, of course. He is super funny in this, and I think he's the comedic relief and the big part of why this is kind of classified as a comedy. Yeah, what did you think of the movie?
I liked it. I liked it a lot, yeah. I did find comedy in it, especially like the kills were ridiculous and blood everywhere and just
like... It starts off kind of very much like a From Dusk Till Dawn. It's got this heist... movie, and so the first half an hour is kind of a heist movie, and they kidnap this young gal, Abigail, and they bring her to a house, and they chain her to a bed, and then all of a sudden it just turns, and she is a vampire, and it goes to horror, and so it's a little bit of that bait and switch, which you see in the trailer, so it's already it gives it away. Mm. But did you like that?
That was a big issue for Clark that they gave it away.
Yes,
the trailer.
I agree with Clark on that one. Yeah. Also, too, the one thing that they gave away is one of the last guys to turn into a vampire.
Yeah.
He, in the trailer, is covered in blood and has fangs and says a one-liner. I'm like, okay, I already know he turns into a vampire.
That sucks.
So I was just waiting for that moment. I was like,
so. Dang, that does suck.
But it's still good outside of that?
I loved it. I thought it was really good. It was a nice fresh breath of air, you know what I mean, of horror and violence. And so, yeah, check it out.
I'm really concerned about both of you at this point.
There you go. That
like
is...
I love you both like brothers, like, you know, or more like distant cousins. But, like, you know, I'm generally concerned about your well-being right now.
Well, you should be. So, Brett, you'd give that a good?
I'd give it a good, yeah.
I'll give it a good as well, and I'll tell you what else I'll give a good. That's this episode of Not Good, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah,
that's a good.
Thanks, we did guys. It.
Thank you, Tom Chilstrom. Thanks for hanging.
Thank you.
Yes, come back anytime, please. And just you don't even need to tell us. Just come in during the recording. Sure. Yeah.
Okay. Wednesday's at, yeah.
All right.
That'd be great.
I'll just show up, yeah.
Oh, do you have any gigs you'd like to plug coming up?
I don't have any. Well, I mean, outside of just, you know, some random stuff, I got some wrestling commentary that I'm doing. Mm-hmm. Absolute Pro Wrestling will be down at Waterloo for Super Slam 2 on Saturday.
Nice.
I don't know when it's going to get recorded. We're not doing live stream this time, but that's always fun to do. And then, of course, my Tuesday show with my buddies JR and Big Ace, the Two Count, right here on Twitch. Twitch.tv/2countwrestling. It's been a long time since I had to promote it like that since we're on like three streams and stuff. But yeah, no. And then comedy will be here and there sometime. Oh. I'm sure I'll find a show in June or July to jump on. Otherwise, it's pretty much just wrestling podcast right now.
Cool. So look out for the social medias for all your comedy dates and stuff.
Yeah. Do you have a Instagram or Twitter or any of that?
Yeah. At Tom Chilstrom, Chilstrom. You know, spelled the cool way, if you will. That's so
very
dumb.
Chilly way.
Yes.
I'm more like a chili dog, am I right?
Yeah. That's Instagram, Twitter, and then whatever. Tom.Chilstrom for Facebook for some odd reason. Just Google Tom Chilstrom. I'm pretty sure you'll find me.
I'm going to do that all night.
Tom Chilstrom murder.
Whoa. That happened a long time ago when I was exonerated. That didn't happen.
Alleged murder.
Thank you, Tom.
Alleged.
Thank you, Tom. Thank you, Brett. We all love you, Tom.
Thank you.
And we'll see you guys soon. Thanks for checking out the show. Reach out to notgoodwithmatt@gmail.com. That is notgoodwithmatt@gmail.com. Thank you, Nalo and Unis, for great music. All right, we'll see you later, guys. I love you.